Are there devotees with us this morning that were not with us yesterday evening? Okay. Welcome, y'all. I learned something when visiting College Station, Texas A&M. When you get on the elevator, it doesn't say third floor, it says howdy. So we say, you know, welcome, Haribo. Radha Damodara Ki Jai. Little review for those of you that weren't with us yesterday evening. You all know the topic for this retreat, visit to Gita Nagari, is empathic communication. Yesterday evening we spent time doing two things, taking the elements of empathic communication directly drawn from Bir Krishnamurti's book on the topic to highlight them. And the second part was illustrating how our founder Acharya is perfect Acharya in this regard, empathic communication. So we went through the elements and illustrating how Srila Prabhupada is such a personality. And we can learn from him. We should learn from him and become inspired. We have copies. If you didn't get a copy, you can ask. We have Markine Dharma, the prayer to Krishna that Prabhupada wrote. We heard it and sang it together. And there are copies over here because it's meaningful for the purpose of our seminar. Again, to connect with Srila Prabhupada as the Acharya of empathic communication. My intention as we go along is to emphasize it again and emphasize it again, and so that will purposefully, the intention is, you'll carry that with you. Prabhupada is the Acharya of empathic communication. Coming attractions. Empathic communication has its root, as far as I'm concerned, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's teaching in Bhagavad Gita, austerity of speech. We all have the speaking part of our body, and sometimes it's we don't use it so austerely. And we can, and the life of a Vaishnava is to do so, and to support or to facilitate empathic communication. A spiritual conception of life is not only important, let's say it negatively, it's incomplete. Nonviolent communication or empathic communication is incomplete without a spiritual conception and without Krishna being at the center of that spiritual conception. And that's where this topic comes up. We expressed in different ways. There's different parts of compassion, very similar. There's a cognitive component. You want to understand, and to the degree that you're able, you understand the other person, their feelings, their needs, ultimately their spiritual need, but even the temporary need. So there's a cognitive element, there's an affective element, a feeling, what you feel about what you know. And then a motivational, you want to do something. So Prabhupada epitomized all of those. innately, we heard some nice examples. Innately, he understood somebody's needs and addressed their needs in a very effective and compassionate and meaningful way. So this one is from the heart. This is, in one sense, it's the affective element, but it's more than that. It's the devotional element. It's the core spiritual element of empathic communication. So, a little heads up before we begin. At the end, you're going to get an exam. A surprise quiz. No. Everyone was paying attention to that one. Empathic communication. I know what your needs are. You really want to be examined and take a quiz. I'm just trying to reciprocate with your needs. So. No. What we're going to do is try to access communication exercise. You know, a sharing kind of breakout session kind of exercise. So, be attentive because it'll be useful for you, not just information in one ear and out the other ear, but it's something that can go into the heart level and then you can share with one another in a very simple and practical way. Well, that's the intention at least. To listen carefully. And this understanding, a phrase that we use in a life, our life of devotion, and even people that aren't in a life of devotion, that, you know, it's from the heart. What does it mean? So that's the purpose of this, is for the, in the lives of aspiring devotees, we're trying to be devotees. And we heard that this devotion is a foundational element of compassion, true compassion, not the other kind. And it's a natural quality of a devotee. It's a natural quality of Krishna. It's a natural quality of devotee of Krishna from the heart. At times our hearts may feel murky, closed off, inaccessible. I think everyone knows what that feeling is, sometimes. And at other times, it's the opposite. We're feeling vibrant, receptive, feeling, at least temporarily, secure, peaceful, but it's temporary. Limited and temporary. That's Krishna's words of Bhagavad Gita. Everything of this world is limited and temporary. In a world of constant change and many demands, how can we reach the stage where our hearts is always soft and compassionately giving? How? Well, we all know the answer. The answer is bhakti. Continuous devotional service to Krishna. That's a nice answer. You get an A in your exam. Now, how do you get there? You won't ask what your GPA is on that one. Here's Rupa Goswami's definition. Very early in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, right after the Mangalacharana prayers, the glorification of Lord Chaitanya. And if you can read the words, maybe if you can't even read the words, you know the verse. Let's say it together twice. Anya vilashata shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishna nushilanam bhaktir uttama. Very good. We have an advanced audience here. Let's do it again. For those of you that aren't familiar with the verse, just listen. It's very nice just to hear it. Anya vilashata shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishna nushilanam bhaktir uttama. And the meaning? The highest bhakti is defined as continuous service or emotions directed towards Krishna, his expansion forms, or others related to him, with a pleasing attitude towards Krishna. I underlined that part. It should be devoid of desires other than the desire to please the Lord, and unobstructed by impersonal jnana, the materialistic rituals of karma, or other unfavorable acts. So the second part of the translation is translating the first part. Anyabilash to shunyam. Abilash means desire. And anya means other. So other desires become shunya, zip, nada. Those of you from New York, you know what nada means. Nothing. Which one specific? Jnana and karma, anavritam. That's what bhakti is devoid of, or what bhakti isn't, and what bhakti is this. Anukulyena krishnanushilanam. Bhaktir uttama. So bhakti is uttama. It's the topmost. We know this from Bhagavad Gita, right? The topmost form of yoga is bhakti. Last verse of chapter 6. So now let's take a look at a really nice devotees who worked on this. I won't embarrass them by saying who worked on this. I didn't do this, by the way. Someone very talented. What is the heart of bhakti? So here's some of the elements. Anyavilashata shunyam. Anya avilas. Choose Krishna bhakti. As the supreme goal. Anya avilash, so it's other desires, no thanks. This one desire, yes, thank you. That's the goal. It's a goal. It's a means and it's a goal, but it's for this purpose, it's a goal. Jnana karma jnanavritam. Trust bhakti as the absolute process. So there it is a process. It's a means as well as a goal. And the process includes leaving aside these other things. Make yourself clean. Leave aside the things that are not clean. So that's the first two lines. Now, what's at the heart? Anukulyena. Oops, anushilanam. The nine processes of bhakti. And Krishna is the object of this process of bhakti. And anukalyena, that is the intention to please Krishna. We had this nice discussion the other day in Virginia, I think it was Virginia, home program. Somebody, probably not so different than a number of you here, he's been practicing bhakti for some time, educated young Indian man, and he asked the standard question. You know, there are different variations on the theme of, but it was basically, how do I get beyond mechanical chanting? I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing that, the other. But I feel it's quite mechanical. So why is that and what's next? Kind of was what he was asking. Those weren't his words, but there was... So the behavior part, that's what's in this area outside, anya abhilash shunyam jnana karma jnanavritam. And then there's process of bhakti, that's, we're getting there, that's getting to the heart, but then the real heart of the heart, or the heart of bhakti is the intention to please Krishna. That's the devotional service change of heart. Those of you that are familiar with Srimad Bhagavatam know that chapter 3 of canto 2 is devotional service change of heart. And Prabhupada uses that phrase like multiple times, particularly in one verse, but several times after that. Change of heart, transformation of heart. And the transformation of heart is what's really important to us, because we're too busy with behaviors and trying to be successful. We're results-oriented, and we're not heart-oriented. It's not that results don't have anything to do with heart, but we're results-oriented. We're in, you know, the approach is not... The approach is a conditioned approach, like a vending machine. Bhakti is not a vending machine. Put in the coins, pull the lever, and down comes your little bhakti package. Not like that. So we still put in the coin, but we do the behaviors and we avoid the other things. And why do we do those things? We accept the processes of bhakti, and Krishna is the object of those processes of bhakti, but it's at the heart of bhakti is wanting to please Krishna. So remember what our topic is from the heart, and remember that we're going to have a quiz at the end, or a practical exercise at the end. So listen with that ear, because we want to move from the mechanical to the from the heart space of rendering devotional service. And that will automatically, not mechanically, but naturally, automatically doesn't necessarily mean mechanically. It means it's a byproduct of bhakti. When you want to please Krishna, that there's compassion and empathic communication. It's resting upon bhakti, that which is sustainable. Just remember the beginning slide, sometimes murky, sometimes unaccessible. We're going to go to the next step. You all ready? There's a similar text. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking, where he says, let's say the verse together twice. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaye Udhoi. One more time. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaye Udhoi. There's sadhana and there's sadhya. There's a process, and there's the mature fruit of that process. And the mature fruit of that process is Krishna Prema. And over here is this word Nitya Siddha. Nitya Siddha means eternally perfect. That's our natural condition. We strayed from that natural condition somehow or other. And here we are. And Shravanadi, beginning with hearing, Shuddha Chitte, consciousness becomes cleansed. That's the process, the nine processes of bhakti. But then there's the goal. The goal is pleasing Krishna. The message is, inherent in the heart of every living being, inherent is an intention to please Krishna. It's already there. And the mature stage, the siddha stage, is prema. So the sadhana stage is to cultivate pleasing Krishna. And the purpose is to awaken that inherent tendency or intention. Intention is a really good word, important word. Now, many of you are familiar with this verse. It connects with the same message of Rupa Goswami's teaching of what bhakti is. And now, for illumination a little further, there's a nice description by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a book called Jiva Dharma. He wrote in Bengali. And in the very beginning part, there's this expanded meaning of Nitya Siddha in the form of Nitya Dharma. Are you ready? I'll say it slowly. I'll try to say it slowly. Some of you are familiar with the introductory verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedyam Vastu Vatra. So Vastu is in that verse. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining or making reference to the word vastu. Vastu means something that exists. It's from the dhatu of vas. So things, stuff. You're like, here's a chair. And this, so that's a vastu. And there's a tree, that's a vastu. And there's a few people here, and there's probably a few other living entities besides people moving around this room or outside for sure. So those are vastus, things. And they exist. Krishna brings them into, they're eternal, not the form of that tree or this chair, but there are such things. There is a realm of absolutes, this is Plato, where there are such things. And this is a reflection of those things. They're here. Krishna brings them into being through his prakriti and force of time and everything. So we're also a vastu, the jiva, because his book is Jiva Dharma, the dharma of the jiva. The dharma of the jiva. So what's the dharma of the jiva? We're accustomed to hearing Srila Prabhupada say, dharma means the essence of something, like sugar. Here's a crystal, put it on your tongue. If it's sweet, it's sugar. And if it's not sweet, it's not sugar. Because sugar has that characteristic, inherent characteristic. And you can take that sugar and you can do all kinds of things. You could dissolve it in some liquid But it's still sugar. They're still sweet. The form it takes may change, but the inherent property, the dharma of sugar, is it's sweet, etc., etc., etc. So what's the dharma of the, this vastu, the jiva? Well, it's nitya dharma, its eternal function is service to Krishna. It's who we are, and our existence is to fulfill that purpose. And so that's the nitya dharma, or the inherent property of the living entity. There is it within, there is an intention to please Krishna. It's already there, and therefore it doesn't matter what the culture, what the language, what the socioeconomic nationality, even species of life, it doesn't matter. It's inherent within the living entity. And form of the living entity may undergo, the vastu may undergo some transformation this way, that way, but the nitya dharma doesn't change. Inherent within us, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation, is service to Krishna. That's our inherent characteristic. The intention to please Krishna is inherent within us. But it's misplaced because of our dear friend, Maya. She has directed that intention to please Krishna elsewhere. Now, she does because of our free will that made a big boo-boo somewhere along the line, that we desired something else. We desired something else. And then something else keeps changing. But the inherent intention doesn't change. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation. That's Jiva Dharma. That's his Nitya Dharma. And the Nitya Dharma, when it becomes matured, is Nitya Siddha. There it is. Nitya Siddha. What's that? Krishna Prema. Sadhya. And how do you, Shravanadi, beginning with hearing. And the other processes of bhakti. It's another explanation of that verse of Rupa Goswami, or say it the other way. Rupa Goswami's verse is another explanation of Lord Chaitanya's teaching. Either way you want to look at it. Therefore, connecting to the heart means to access that which is truly of substance in each living entity. It's Nitya Dharma, which is the desire. That's how to go from mechanical to non-mechanical. Anything, living. It's how to go from communication that's other than compassionate to compassionate or empathic. It's intrinsic to the soul to want to please Krishna, and it's pleasing to Krishna when you have qualities like Prabhupada has, and we don't. So we're meant to awaken those qualities. Executing the process of bhakti is to uncover that real substance, the seed of intention to please Krishna, and allow its natural life to flourish. One that surpasses all material preconditions, one that is sincerely beneficial to oneself and to all other jivas. It's very clear, yes? Very simple, very direct. Just, we're complicated. Prabhupada said, devotional service is simple for the simple and difficult for the crooked. Crooked means we have other intentions. We have intentions. It's inherent within us. But there's other intentions too. And that's what makes life complicated. Life doesn't have to be complicated. The world that we're in is complicated. Yes. And the roles and... it's complicated. But if the heart is simple, then the bhakti process is made simple. Simplicity is one of the qualities of a devotee. It's one of the qualities of goodness. But it's certainly one of the qualities of a devotee. And that intention, tendency that's innate within us, that's the key. That's how to nurture a simple life. In all circumstances, Krishna is to be pleased. Or say, Krishna's pleasure is everything. We encounter circumstances of life that are, how do we get Krishna's pleasure out of this? But there's an opportunity to contemplate Krishna's pleasure within everything. And that's the position of happiness, and that's the position of empathic communication. Once we connect to this place in our heart, service to Krishna becomes so intrinsic to our being. I mean, it already is, but the awakened state of consciousness, you don't like have to do a mental adjustment. The power, the spiritual power, the spiritual potency drives everything. The mind, the emotions within the mind, and then behaviors, speech, connecting with the heart, connecting with this intention. And when we connect, the intrinsic nature of the soul comes out. Nice example, beautiful illustration. Just as a downpour of rain brings life to the awaiting earth, our practice of bhakti becomes enlivened. When we're connecting to the heart, and otherwise I'm not feeling enlivened. Or something mechanical. I've said this many times, it's probably in the top five in the Swami circuit of questions, from my experience. There's different ways of saying it, but when will I go beyond the mechanical stage? Here it is. But it takes some spiritual work, or it takes some devotional work, it takes some realignment of the heart to the life of devotion, behaviors and activities of devotion that we do. As bhakti becomes enlivened, the inherent compassion within the heart becomes accessible. When communication is rooted in this compassion, it is truly empathic. It's not sometimes. It's a really nice understanding that asat means doesn't exist. Now, this world is asat. So let's just take, it was right here in Gita Nagari many years ago. I won't say the name of, there was a certain Prabhupada disciple who was giving a Bhagavatam class on a verse. It was the day before this gathering like this. And the verse was from the Bhagavatam saying, there's no good qualities in the life of a non-devotee and the life of a devotee. The devotee becomes decorated with all good qualities. And this particular individual said, well, I do food for life here in Gita Nagari, and I go to homes of people, and they're really nice, and they're really good people. Kind of like trash the Bhagavatam verse. Jayadvaita Swami was one of the speakers, and he gave the class the next day, didn't know that this particular Prabhu gave the class on the same verse, and he He did the Jayadvaita Swami. No good qualities. No. There are good qualities in people, but they're asat. They're limited and temporary. Now you see it, now you don't. Everyone's got their button. And the good quality, because the modes of nature compete, the good quality disappears and the other quality surfaces. Because the good quality is a mode of goodness quality, but it's asat. Mode of goodness is asat. Maybe some of you remember seeing this Srinathji, who is an industrialist, who describes meeting Prabhupada and said, you know, businessman, their nature is they want to find the weakness of the other person, and then they go after it. The jugular. So he said, I tested Prabhupada. Was he, you know, ambitious? Was he greedy? Was he proud? Was he this and that? And I checked him out thoroughly, and there wasn't any weakness, because there wasn't any material desire. And when you're in that position, then it's, including empathy, then it's truly empathic. So let's go to Marshall Rosenberg. We mentioned yesterday, for those of you that weren't here, this whole idea of empathic communication, which is the term that Bir Krishnamurti likes to use. It's derived from a predecessor person, Marshall Rosenberg, who taught nonviolent communication, popular term today. And it was like a few decades ago that he taught this. But he's teaching to people that aren't sadhakas. We're teaching this to sadhakas, devotees that are practicing bhakti. And those who are practicing bhakti need some help to have communication become more empathic. Because sometimes when we get together, we don't speak empathically with one another. We don't communicate because we're not connected to our hearts. We're connected to the mouth or to the head or to our conceptions or to our ego or to something other than the intention to please Krishna. So it's very relevant. And it's the good quality that's sustaining, that isn't circumstantially created or circumstantially interrupted. It's always there. It's always there. Truly empathic. Compassion does not have a separate existence from bhakti. Would you like to hear a little story from Brihat Bhagavatamrita? Are you sure? I didn't hear much sound vibration. Okay. All right. In part one of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Narada Muni is on a quest. It's a quest literature. It's a very popular variety of literature today. He was on a quest of finding out who is the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. So he goes visiting different people and referred to by the previous person that says, oh, no, I'm not. There's somebody else. Go to that somebody else. So he eventually makes it, chapter 5, makes it to the... And when he gets to Hastinapur, the Pandavas are having a Pandava conference. They're making a plan how to have the next calamity. And what's going to be the best calamity to happen, because we know that Krishna will come when there's a calamity. So what's a good one? And when he comes, Narada comes, oh, you Pandavas, you're the greatest recipients of Krishna's mercy. And Arjuna, you're Krishna's dearmost friend. Arjuna, you're the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. And he says, no. And gives his disqualifications. And one of those disqualifications that he cites is actually one of his glories. But he sees it as a disqualification. And he said, Krishna became my charioteer, and he was driving my chariot and taking the arrows of Bhishma Dev in his chest, and Bhishma Dev was firing at me, and Krishna would get in the way and take the arrows in his chest. And how can I be the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy? I tried to stop him, and who can stop Krishna from doing what Krishna wants to do? It was so painful. And the commentary says, we know from the Bhagavatam, blood was coming from Krishna's body. Now, we know from Ishopanishad, the Lord has no veins. And blood comes from veins. His body is all spiritual, so where's the blood coming from? It's a leela. And the commentary says it was perspiration, ecstatic perspiration coming out in the form of blood. Now, with perspiration, what is the Lord? He has a spiritual body. It's a leela. It's a leela that, on the one hand, was making Arjuna feel terrible and making Bhishma feel happy. And Krishna was making both of them. He was accelerating their love for him both by Arjuna feeling terrible, because that feeling terrible was strengthening his relationship of friendship with Krishna. And you don't want your friend to undergo any difficulty. What to speak of arrows that were so powerful, they were sufficient to kill somebody, and Krishna's taking many of them in his chest. Horrible. Ghastly is one of the secondary rasas, by the way. And Bhishma was another secondary rasa, chivalry. Krishna's reciprocating with them both to strengthen their primary rasa. But the statement by Arjuna is, acts that bring pain to a dear one are not a sign of compassion or love. Now, if you're on the platform of pure bhakti, like Arjuna and Bhishma, then acts that bring pain or suffering to others can be an ecstatic experience. But for us, it's not. We're concerned about the needs and interests and concerns and the feelings of others, and we're tuned into it, and we want not just a temporary basis, but a long-term basis. Sometimes Prabhupada would speak words to people that was like, whoa. But it was for fear of their purification. He knew exactly who, what, how, when. He had the capacity. Little Prabhupada story. Prabhupada was visiting in London, and he was telling the story about his just the previous couple of days visit to Stockholm. And in Stockholm, he was sharing with the devotees in London. There was a big hall. Many people were attending, and Prabhupada spoke, you know, about bhakti. And at the end, one young man who Prabhupada had never met, he had never met Prabhupada, he said, you know, your speech was very wonderful, but I want you to know the many things that you said that are very similar to my beliefs as a Christian. Then Prabhupada said, immediately I said to this young man, you are not a Christian. And the young man said, well, why do you say that? Said, a Christian is one who follows the teachings of Christ. Yes? Oh, yes. And one of the teachings of Christ is, thou shalt not kill. Yes? Yes. Do you eat meat? Yes. I therefore say you are not a Christian. Because a Christian is one who follows the teachings of Christ. You're not following, so you're not a Christian. The young man was bewildered and walked away, and Prabhupada said, I never met the man before. But, you know, of course, Super Soul inspired him. Now, that sounds harsh, but it was to help the young man align himself with what being a Christian is. Now, he could have said it some other ways, but Super Soul inspired him because that's who Prabhupada was guided by. Not his mind or his emotions, or he didn't care how the other person felt about what he said. But it was to bring him to his spiritual position. Sometimes people need a little wake-up call. Because the wake-up call later is going to be more severe than that one. So now we're almost completed. Here's some description from Bhaktivinoda Thakur from Chaitanya Shikshamrita. So I'll read slowly. When a person takes shelter of bhakti, mercy towards all living entities is a natural quality. Compassion does not have a separate existence from bhakti. The quality which, when offered to the Lord, is called bhakti or prema, becomes friendship, compassion, and indifference when directed towards other living beings. So the quality, the compassion quality, when offered to the Lord, is called bhakti or prema. And it becomes friendship, compassion, indifference when directed towards other living beings. It is a feeling that is inherent in the eternal nature of the soul. In the spiritual realm, this quality manifests only as friendship, but in the material world it manifests as friendship towards devotees, mercy towards the innocent, and indifference towards the offenders. These are but different aspects of the same compassion. So when you're in the Madhyama stage, it's making these distinctions, and the Uttama stage is everyone is Krishna's devotee. In the conditioned state, this compassion is extremely stunted. It starts with affection for the individual body, then widens to include attachment to one's household, then to Varna, then to countrymen, expanding. It may grow to include the human beings of the whole world. However, compassion becomes complete when directed towards all living beings. Patriotism is but a limited aspect of this sentiment in relation to a country. Philanthropy is compassion directed towards all humanity. However, Vaishnavas should not be limited by these mundane sentiments. They should have compassion for the complete range of living entities, not wanting to cause harm to any of them, human or otherwise. There's the reference, Chaitanya Shikshamritam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So compassion in the mature stage is pervasive. And back to our message, it's inherent, pleasing. The intention to please Krishna is inherent within each of us. Advanced devotees, they can connect with their hearts in this way, and therefore they always exhibit. Here's Raghunath Das Goswami, so absorbed in chanting he doesn't even notice there's a tiger also coming to take water at Radhakund. Or Queen Kunti, so much tribulation she and the Pandavas endured, but this steadiness of faith and practice, Prahlad Maharaj. We have examples. meant to be inspired by, not imitate, but follow the example of such exalted personalities. That will help us, by seeing their example, become steady in both faith and practice. This is our Vaishnava way. When there is a disconnect, that's when the heart is disconnected from that inherent intention of pleasing Krishna, we communicate from the platform of mind or intelligence in order to defend or satisfy our false ego, our dear friend, false ego. And then you have speech that's not compassionate, speech that's harsh, or not considering what that speech is going to do to the heart of the other person. It's part of maturing in bhakti is to consider not only doing the right thing or saying the right thing, but doing the right thing and saying the right thing in the right way. That's maturity. That's connecting to this heart space. So when we feel loving shelter and protection in our relationship with Guru and Krishna, qualities such as tolerance, there's a tree that's being very tolerant, and respect for others without expecting any in return, those qualities will follow the bhakti principle. Good qualities follow the bhakti principle. Compassionate speech being one of them. And tolerance is part of being, in all circumstances, being compassionate, being empathic. So this is our last slide. Exhibiting these qualities will touch and transform the hearts of others in amazing and sometimes unexpected ways. Life is full of surprises. You know what? Exhibiting these qualities will touch and transform the hearts of others in amazing and unexpected ways. And you know what? Exhibiting these qualities will touch and transform the hearts of others in amazing and unexpected ways. So I'm looking at the clock and it's 9:15. We're supposed to end in 15 minutes. And we have our surprise quiz, right? Or little exercise. So, connecting to your heart, here's the exercise. In groups, little groups, 3, 4 maybe, because we have a lot of people, maybe 5 is max, but just seated where you are, look around in 3, 4, maybe max 5 little groups, and the exercise is to think of and share with one another instances when things were not going so well for you. And as you were experiencing that negative emotion about things not going so well for you, you came to a point of wishing to share that with another, maybe someone was the, or not just like vent, but you know, it's something that is just communicating, let's say to the person who was the instrument of whatever that discomfort was, and trying to do that in such a way that wasn't just venting, but sharing your heart with that person. And then, so that's the circumstance, and then what did you feel? Did you feel that you were connecting better to your heart, and as a result, your speech and the conduct following that speech was in this empathic communication, because behavior is also a form of communication. So I'll say it again, and then we'll take a few minutes to do a little exercise. Think of some circumstance where you were feeling uncomfortable. Things just weren't going well, and it was, you know, some negative emotion churning. And it got to the point where you felt, I need to express this. But I want to express it in such a way that it's not just like ranting at somebody, but so they can understand what my feelings are. This is, you know, these are my needs. This is Veer Krishnamurti's terminology. These are my needs, and this is what I'm feeling. Not I'm blaming anybody, but I'm just sharing with you. This is what I'm going through. And by doing that, how did you feel? Did you feel more connected with your empathic nature? Connecting more with your heart, being honest and truthful and transparent. So look around. 3-4 people, that's ideal then, because there's more sharing that way. We'll stop in 7 minutes.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
It worked. The clock says we have 5 minutes. And then we're going to don't get up right away because there's some important announcements to make. Good experience? Access the heart is at the heart of bhakti. And the intention to please Krishna is at the heart of accessing the heart. So that's a good place to cultivate. Anyone would like, I'll take one or two, would like to share from your group some of the little messages, got to keep it short, that your group shared, if anybody would like to volunteer that one. I should have said, try to have somebody speak on behalf of your group. Rati, volunteering, look at that.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
He didn't volunteer. But he's smiling.
So we were about to share amongst us. I think we just got to completing Yamuna Jeevan Prabhu's sharing.
Yeah.
And then we, Nitya Gauranga Prabhu was about to share, but he didn't complete it. The time was out. So I can just share what Yamuna Jeevan Prabhu shared.
Keep it real simple, and then you can have lunch or breakfast together. Continue.
So Yamuna Jeevan Prabhu was sharing that he was in a situation where he had some kind of disagreement with
somebody
without naming it.
Okay.
He felt very bad about the whole, and he couldn't even immediately express it and let the person know about it. He took a month or so to kind of express that to that person. And there was a mixed feelings going on in his heart while the whole thing was happening. After a month, things improved a little bit. There came an apology from the other side. But then the apology was not really from the heart of the other person. It still kind of remained, the whole situation is still not great. It has not improved much. Though there was an apology, it kind of helped a little bit, but not really helped the situation.
Not closure.
Yeah.
Sometimes such things take time. And, that's fine. It's not like you have to be impulsive and urgent and all of that. But connect with your heart, and then it makes it a little easier. I'm looking, there's 2 minutes left, and I don't know who can speak for 2 minutes here, but anyone want to try? We have one. Try to stay within 2 minutes. Good luck.
So in our group, we discussed, one of the Mataji, she shared, at times it's possible to get to the heart and express to people, but then it's not possible to stay there. And then there were others of us who shared that it's even impossible.
Difficult.
It's difficult even to come above our emotions and actually understand our own needs and understand the other person's needs and then go and communicate that, hey, this is what's going on. So, meaning, the others in the group didn't even have an example to share where there was a situation they were able to.
Okay. You get the idea. It's practical to help us connect to the heart. So you don't have to do this, but encourage, sit together sometime during prasadam is a nice time to do this, and then you put Krishna at the center and you speak on these topics. It's, you know, it's a take-home exercise to connect with others, and that's connect with others from the heart. And the basis is connect with Krishna. So the 9:30 bell is ringing and class is over this morning. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Don't go away. Don't go away. I shouldn't have said Prabhupada ki jai. Stay seated, please. We'll be really brief, because I know you want to have this wonderful breakfast they've been preparing and offering to Radha Damodar. So, I'll say two things and he'll say the remaining things. One is, there's a registration desk, and if you haven't stopped by the registration desk, please do so. And the other is, commonly at this event and events like this, those who are so inspired to get some Krishna points, excuse me, for feeding the Vaishnavas, then you can do so. It's a devotional dadati pratigranati arrangement. Offer prasadam to the Vaishnavas. So there's sponsorship arrangements, and that information is also available at the registration desk. So you're invited. Serve the Vaishnavas. Feed the Vaishnavas. Go ahead.